Morning. Okay, today's reading is Mark 5, 24 to 34, page 1007, page 1007, and that's Mark 5, 24 to 34. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembled with fear, told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
Hey, church. Some of us could go a whole day without uttering a single word to someone, and nobody would notice. Now, I think the second part of that is perhaps the most significant. Not just that it happens, but that no one would notice. I mean, think about it. Someone who's feeling isolated could come to a church like this, and someone could speak to them and say, "Oh, how are you doing?" And they'd respond, "Yeah, I'm doing fine." And then they go home, and life continues as always. Others of us don't go back to a quiet home, and yet, even in a room full of 200 people like this, we can still feel lonely, we can feel isolated, we can feel anonymous, like no one really knows us. I wonder if loneliness is one of the few struggles that we feel a bit ashamed of. Like, we'll happily tell people about our bad back, or our boiler, or our kids' exams, but we find it much harder to admit when the house is quiet, or when we feel isolated. Somewhere along the line, for some reason, we decided that being alone is something that we should feel embarrassed about. And so we hide it. And in hiding, nothing changes. I'm, of course, not preaching down on anybody. We'd all do the same in that circumstance. Many of us would far rather be helped than known. That's why we use self-checkouts, isn't it? Impersonal. And still get what we want. If there's a way of getting help without being known, we'll take it every time, and there's a self-protection to that, and many of us have learned that for a reason. So this morning, I want to introduce us to an isolated, lonely woman who had worked out self-protection to a fine art. She had a plan of getting what she wanted from Jesus without ever having to come face to face with him, and it worked perfectly. She got precisely what she came for. At which point, the story still has 6 verses left. And those are the verses that really matter. Because Jesus is going to stop several hundred people just to find this one woman. And then he's going to wait. Because he is not satisfied with half healing the problem. Firstly, we're going to see a woman who is helped and unknown. Verse 24, you can see it there if you've got your Bibles open, says that a large crowd followed Jesus and pressed around him. Don't think of a queue. This is a mass of people packed so tightly together that if you move a little bit, it means being shoved by everyone from either side. If you've been at a busy concert or on a packed tube, think that sort of environment. Everyone is touching Jesus, but no one is really meeting with him. And somewhere in that crush is a woman that the Bible never names. Verse 25 says that She'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And verse 26 says what that cost her. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She'd spent everything that she had, and instead of getting better, she got worse. Put yourself in her shoes for a moment. This is a woman who has done everything that she's supposed to do. She's done everything right. She sought help, she took advice, she paid for the best help that was available, and then she paid again. And every course of treatment left her a little poorer and a little more unwell than when she started. We know some of the remedies that would have been prescribed back then. One of them involved carrying a grain of barley around that was found in the dung of a white donkey. Really strange. That's what her money bought her, and 12 years of it. Imagine getting to the bottom of the list of things you're supposed to try and still being in exactly the same position. Imagine having no more options left to try. Maybe some of us don't have to imagine. But the money was actually the smaller loss in her circumstance. And I think this part needs explaining because it doesn't leap off the pages of the Bible immediately in a world that we haven't lived in. In her society, a woman who had a continual bleed like this was, under the law, called unclean. Now, that's not a comment on her character. That doesn't mean she's done anything wrong, that she's sinful or being punished. It was a rule back then about contact. Anyone who touched her became unclean too. So did any chair that she sat in. So did any bed that she lay in. Anyone who touched her and any of those objects would have to be washed, and then they'd have to wait until sundown before they could get on with the rest of their day. I mean, think about how great that cost would have been. Being unclean meant that everyone around her would try and avoid touching her for 12 years. No embrace, no hand on the shoulder, nobody sitting close to her. Being unclean meant she couldn't go into the temple. She was shut out from the place where she could worship God. I'm guessing now, but I don't think I'm guessing wildly, was there a time for her where the invitations to dinner just stopped? Was there a shut door where once there had been a warm embrace? How long was it before her family started losing patience with the inconvenience caused by having her around? 12 years of being the person that it always cost something for other people to be around. After a while, she learnt to take up less room. And that's exactly what she does here. Have a look at verse 27. She came up behind Jesus in the crowd and touched his cloak. Behind him, not in front of him. And touching his cloak, not his hands, certainly not his face, because she knows exactly that she's doing something she's not permitted to do. And in verse 28, we see the reasoning. If I could only touch his cloak, I would be healed. There's real faith in that. She's convinced that he can do it, and she's right. But look at what else is in it. If I touch his clothes. She wants Jesus' power without Jesus' person. You can see it in where she's standing. She's come to take the healing, and then she wants to be gone before anyone else, certainly Jesus, recognizes her. And it works. Verse 29. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. 12 years over in just one sentence. She has her body back. Her secret is still intact. All she has to do now is turn round and slip away before anyone notices. And if this was a story about healing, then it could stop just there. But it doesn't. Let's see a woman who is helped and known. Verse 30. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples think this is a ridiculous question to ask. hundreds of people have touched him, even in the last minute. Verse 31, you see the people crowding against you, yet you ask, who touched me? But only one touch registered. That's a difference that this whole story turns on. It's also not only about her, it's also about the crowd. You can be near Jesus without ever having met him. You can be in the building, in the crowd, in the middle of everything, and be as unknown to him as a stranger in the street. Some of us may have been in the crowd for decades, near him, but never face to face. You can be in the crowd, or you can be one frightened woman who's never told anyone what's going on, and yet have Jesus' full, complete, undivided attention. And watch what Jesus does here. He doesn't point at her. He doesn't name her. He doesn't describe her or announce to several hundred people the problem that she's been suffering with all this time. He asks a question out into the open, into the air, to give this woman the option of coming forward. And he waits. He stopped the whole crowd, and then he stands there in the silence, waiting for that woman to decide. Now, imagine, if you've spent years of not being seen. Are we all right on the microphone? All good? If you spent years of not being seen, then being forced out into the open would be a really horrifying thought, a frightening one. But what Jesus does here is he gives her the opportunity to come forward. He doesn't drag her out. He gives her the opportunity to move towards him. Verse 33, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. She is terrified. The Bible doesn't hide that. She has broken the rules. She's made a rabbi unclean, as far as she knows, in the midst of all this crowd. And the whole village is about to hear. But look at where she's standing now. She's no longer behind Jesus. She comes up to him in verse 27. Now she's at his feet, in front of him, in the open, face to face. And she tells him the whole truth. Not the summary, not the version that you'd give someone politely. 12 years of truth poured out before Jesus with everyone listening. Maybe it's the hardest thing she's ever done, but she's never going to have to do it again. Here's what she gets for it. What does Jesus say? Verse 34, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Every word counts in that sentence. Daughter. She's been nameless through the whole story. Mark never tells us what she was called, and neither does anyone in the crowd, because for 12 years she's been just the woman with the problem, lonely, isolated, and yet the first word out of Jesus' mouth is a family word. Not madam, not woman, not even friend. Jesus gives her a place in the household. She came looking for a cure. She left belonging. Understand what has happened there? Her body was healed back in verse 29 in secret, and she could have walked away with just that. What she couldn't have walked away with is this. She would have been well, but still alone. Jesus stopped the crowd because he wasn't satisfied with merely healing her body. He was not willing to mend just half of her. Second part of that sentence, your faith has healed her. He puts it graciously in her hands. 12 years of being told she was doing the wrong thing, where to go, where not to go, where to sit, where not to sit. And yet Jesus says, in public, she's done something wonderful and beautiful. Go in peace. Peace in the Bible doesn't just mean absence of conflict. It's about wholeness. She can go back whole, back to the temple, back to the table, back into a world where people can embrace her and sit next to her. She can go and have dinner with people tonight and be freed from your suffering. This is not coming back. Here's what this story
is in the Bible for. I told you a little bit about how uncleanness worked. It worked by touch. Whatever or whoever she touched was made unclean. But for the first time in her life, in that moment where she touched Jesus, just his cloak, it worked in the opposite direction. Instead of her uncleanness traveling and hitting Jesus, his wholeness went up her arm and filled her instead. What a beautiful thing that is. And that happens every time people meet Jesus. The Bible shows it before in chapter 1 of Mark. There's a man with leprosy, another person who nobody could touch. And Jesus reaches out and puts his hand on that person. And the man is made clean. Whatever is wrong with people doesn't stick to Jesus. It works in the opposite direction. Whatever is right with Jesus graciously sticks to us. And I think that's the whole message of the gospel in just one gesture. In the end, Jesus did take everything that's wrong with us. He did take all our uncleanness. All of it. Not just a flow of blood, but everything we have done. Everything that we might be ashamed of. And he carried it outside the city and died with it on him. Outside the walls, in the place where the unclean people would go and live. He went and stood where this woman had been standing for 12 years. But it's worse than that, and it's better than that. On the night Jesus was arrested, all his friends ran away. He was abandoned by every single one of them. And when he was hanging there on the cross, Jesus cried out in the dark, the loneliest words ever spoken. My God, why have you forsaken me? Just a few hours earlier in the garden, Jesus had cried, praying to my Father. But now at the end, he cries out on the cross as one who is abandoned. He was forsaken so that a lonely woman could be called daughter. He was made unclean so that she and we can be clean. And so, some of us here see ourselves in this woman. You might have a quiet house or a phone that doesn't ring very often, or the perception of being someone that other people have to put quite a lot of effort to be around. Or you might not have a quiet house. You might be surrounded by people in a room like this and yet feel anonymous, like no one really knows you. And some of you have been in the crowd for years and years, sitting in these rows, hearing the gospel, being close to Jesus, but never really meeting him face to face. Whichever one of those is you, hear what this woman heard. Jesus isn't going to expose you. He's going to wait and give you the opportunity to come to him. What she did wasn't complicated. She stopped hiding and told him the whole truth. You don't need the right words. This woman didn't have a script. You can do it where you are sitting, silently, even in the next 30 seconds, and nobody in this room will know. And this is what will happen when you do. Jesus will know the whole truth about you. Being completely known might be the thing that you're dreading. But when it's Jesus, that's actually the gift. Because he'll know every single thing about your life, even the things you are most ashamed of in this world, and he will call you daughter. He will call you son. Regardless, you'll belong. You'll be his. You'll not be alone. Not because your diary will fill up next week. Maybe it won't. But the loneliest thing about you will stop being true. Because the God who made you will know you and call you his. Be freed from your suffering. He said it. And it won't come back. Which leaves the rest of us. If you have known Christ for years, this passage has a really important job for you too. Daughter is a family word, and family obviously involves people. And that means us. The church is the place where God's promise of family comes true. somebody within a few feet of you might be going back to that quiet home. Somebody sitting very close to you might be that person who's isolated, even though there's loads of people around. We can't fix that with a rota, but we can be family. We can ask that second question beyond, how are you doing? We can notice who leaves early. We can be the person who doesn't treat others as a burden, but delights to draw close. Because there were two sorts of people in that place in Israel, in that street on this occasion. There was the crowd that never noticed that woman. And there was Jesus who met her face to face and drew close to her. We've got to decide which of those people we will be at the end of this service. The crowd who doesn't notice, or Jesus who draws near. If you'd like to talk about any of this afterwards, then I'm going to be sitting over there and I'd love to chat. If you'd like to get connected with us as a church, we'd love for you to find a home here. There is that card in the Bibles that I waved around earlier. You can tick one of the options there. We'd love for you to get connected with us. But first and foremost, above all of that, the invitation is to get connected with Jesus. He wants to know you, not at a distance, but face to face. 12 years, that woman was the woman with the problem. But she went home a daughter, and she didn't go home alone. I'm going to invite the band to the front. And let's pray as they do so. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are willing to take everything that's wrong with us, all of our uncleanness, everything that would be a barrier from us knowing your Father. And thank you that you died so that we can be clean, so that we can be washed pure, so that we can be welcome in the presence of God. Father, we pray that all of us would come to you, that we wouldn't be content with just being one in the crowd, sort of near you, but never really knowing you, but that we would come face to face, even as we're singing now, that we would speak to you, even for the first time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.